Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton, bringing you this week's edition of Earth and Home. Today, we will be reading from Real Simple Magazine, April 2024. Let's get started with the first article. Relating, a natural connection. The key to good health for us and the planet lies in rekindling our relationship to the dirt and the trees, by Elizabeth Kwok Hefferman. Quick question. When was the last time you sat, like really sat, in a park? There's a good chance it's been a while. Only 22% of Americans spend time in nature at least once a week, according to a 2019 survey conducted by APM Research Lab. Not awesome. Decades of robust studies have shown that fresh air and greenery and the great outdoors profoundly benefit pretty much every measure of our well-being. Nature is so good for us, it's actually crucial, says Peter James, SCD, Associate Professor of Environmental Health at Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health and Associate Professor of Population Medicine at Harvard Medical School. We have to think about nature as an essential need for us as human beings, he adds. The reason has to do with our hardwiring, says Kim Meidenbauer, PhD, Assistant Professor of Psychology at Washington State University. A lot of theories say that most of our evolutionary history took place in natural environments, she explains. These spaces fulfill a fundamental need. How does the earth do our bodies good? Let us count the ways. In the short term, walking in a green space can turn your mood around. A 2022 review and meta-analysis of 7 studies from 7 countries in the Journal of Clinical Medicine found that people with depression or anxiety always experienced fewer symptoms after a walk in nature, even if their stroll was as short as 15 minutes. In the longer term, living in an area with more green space is linked to a lower risk of cardiovascular disease and a longer lifespan, according to a 2021 paper published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health. But wait, there's more. Being outdoors sharpens working memory, which we rely on to remember things like our bank password and where we parked. Our executive function, which helps us plan, think critically, focus, and control emotions, improves as well. An often-cited study from 2008 included an experiment in which 38 people took a cognitive test before and after a 50 to 55-minute walk in an arboretum. Sure enough, test scores were higher after the stroll. Mother Nature can also help lower stress levels. Think about the last time you got a massage or facial. When you go to a spa, you hear nature sounds. They're calming for us, James says. Rigorous studies show that measures of stress like blood pressure and heart rate variability go down after exposure to nature. That's important because chronic stress is linked to heart attacks, strokes, depression, and other serious conditions. Even our social lives benefit from vitamin N. See what we did there? People spend more time connecting with one another after their neighborhoods receive more trees or better parks, according to Michelle Kondo, PhD, research social scientist for the USDA Forest Service. Trees and parks encourage us to get together and help us build positive relationships with our neighbors, she explains. Reducing isolation is a proven way to boost mental and physical health. And because relationships go both ways, a true connection to nature includes giving back to it, which in turn helps you, the most beneficial feedback loop of all time. Humans need to recognize our place in the world is not separate and distinct from nature, but part of it, says Jose Gonzalez, founder of Latino Outdoors and co-founder of the Outdoorist Oath, 2 nonprofits dedicated to inclusivity and outdoor recreation. The more we recognize how much we rely on nature, the more motivated we may be to protect it to everyone's benefit. How can we get more from nature? Experts say thinking small can deliver big time. A few ideas. Sneak it in daily. Make nature a regular part of your life, Meidenbauer says. The more, the better. Look for ways to incorporate the outdoors into every day. That could mean going for a walk around the block, serving dinner in the backyard, or reading a book on the porch instead of your couch. Fake an escape. On days when you barely have the energy to wash your face, or when the weather is less than ideal, take a few minutes to look at photos of mountains, lush green forests, or any landscape that speaks to you. People said they felt happier, more content, and more enthusiastic right after looking at nature photos for only 3 minutes, according to a 2014 study in the Journal of Environmental Psychology. This may motivate you to meditate, exercise, or do something else that lifts your mood. Before bed, fire up some nature sounds on an app. Listening to ocean waves or chirping birds helps reduce heart rate, according to 2023 research in the journal Urban Forestry and Urban Greening. Pick up a plant or two. Brightening up your home or office with a few leafy friends may help increase your attention and lower blood pressure. Even just one indoor plant can aid in relaxation and cognition, according to a 2022 analysis of 16 studies published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health. Consider something fragrant, like geraniums, lavender, or rosemary, if you aren't sensitive to scents. The aromas could help you feel even more connected to nature, found one 2023 study. Oh, and look outside your window, too. There's research that recovery times for hospital patients were shorter when they had a window box or a view of nature in their rooms, compared with patients who had a view of a brick wall, Kondo says. Ditch your phone for a bit. You'll get more out of any experience if you make an effort to, well, experience it, says Ellen Horowitz, a certified nature and forest therapy guide who leads custom forest bathing walks in northwestern Montana. Our nervous systems were never designed for constant bombardment, she says. One study showed that using a laptop in green spaces counteracted any executive function benefits. So when you're taking in some green, put your phone away. Find a comfortable spot to sit. It can be in your backyard, a city park, or a wilder setting, and intentionally observe your surroundings for as long as you can. Try to use all your senses. Hold some dirt in your hands. Listen to the leaves fluttering in the breeze. Watch a beetle crawl along a stick. As silly as it might sound, I invite people to taste the air as if they were sipping it through a little straw, Horowitz says. How nature can get more from us. When we help Mother Nature, we help ourselves in the immediate term and the long run. Here, some ways to give back. Tend a garden. Planting your own patch of greenery and flowers helps reduce carbon emissions in our atmosphere, provides homes for countless critters, and pays off in delicious produce or beautiful blooms. Plus, studies show that touching soil may keep your gut bacteria diverse, which helps improve health and increase serotonin production. Choose what you grow thoughtfully, Gonzalez advises. Think about using native plants, he suggests. They aren't just ornamental, but help the ecological community thrive. Among their many benefits, native plants are adapted to your local climate and rainfall patterns, meaning they often require less supplemental watering. And they're ideal food for neighborhood bees and butterflies, which support our food supply through pollination. Local nurseries and native plant societies, find your state's society at ahsgardening.org. are excellent resources for learning which species are best in your neck of the woods. No garden space at home? Join a community plot. Find options near you at communitygarden.org. Donate your time. Public lands like national parks and neighborhood recreation centers are vital for human health, yet they're chronically underfunded, says Kelly Burnett, Program Director of Conservation for the National Environmental Education Foundation, an organization advocating to make nature accessible to all. You can help preserve our earth by rolling up your sleeves and lending your green thumb. Volunteer efforts make up a majority of day-to-day maintenance and projects that may not get done otherwise, Burnett says. like habitat restoration, invasive species removal, and tree planting. Such projects clean the air, help sustain local agriculture, and provide homes for wildlife. In return, you'll get your fill of nature and connect with others in your community, which can help foster a sense of belonging. Visit volunteer.gov for opportunities with federal agencies like national parks, or check in with your town's Parks and Recreation Department for close-to-home projects. Become a champion for green space. Not everyone has equal access to parks and other green spaces in their neighborhoods. We can help nature and people by making more of them. Advocate for your community and every community to have access to nature in everyday life, James says. Showing support can be as simple as donating to an organization like the Trust for Public Land, TPL.org, a nonprofit that works with cities to create parks and protect public lands. If you have the time and desire to do more, learn how to improve park access in your city by visiting 10minutewalk.org, and that's 10minutewalk.org. Operated by the Trust for Public Land, the website outlines the organization's goal of creating a park within a 10-minute walk of every home, along with information on how anyone can further the cause. For other advocacy opportunities, contact your local Parks and Recreation Department, which should have info on your community's specific needs. When the call is finished, you know what to do. Put your phone down and go for a walk. That concludes the article, A Natural Connection. Now we'll move on to garden goals. Get a landscape that everyone, Mother Nature included, will love, by Lucy Mercer. As a gardening expert with more than a decade of experience, I filled a lot of questions, like, how do I get mums to flower again? And why does my houseplant look like this? Lately, interest has skewed toward adding native plants, welcoming pollinators, growing vegetables, and making lawns more eco-friendly. These admirable ideas are all good for the planet and its creatures, and they're fairly easy to pull off, so I dug up tips that shed some sunlight on them. Let's grow. If you want to help the pollinators, the bees and the butterflies, moths, wasps, and hummingbirds need you. Make smart planning choices now to get your yard buzzworthy. Go for diversity. To attract lots of different insects and birds, you need plants with a variety of colors and shapes, says Katie Tammany, Chief Marketing Officer at Monrovia, which sells 22 million plants every year. Bees and butterflies tend to dig plants in the aster family, like zinnias. Bees seem to especially love flowers with a large surface to land on, like sunflowers and coneflowers. Tubular flowers, like those in the salvia family, are a respite for hummingbirds because of their shape. Plant in three stages. Very few plants flower for months on end, so stagger the bloom times in your garden. That way, your winged friends will have soft places to land on through the fall. Tammany says to head to your local garden center, check tags, and buy some plants that are early blooming, meaning early spring, some that are long blooming, from around May through summer, and some that are late blooming, peaking in late summer and fall, with some lasting until frost. This will likely include a mix of perennials, flowering shrubs, and wildflowers, says Allison McManus, co-author of The First Time Gardener, Growing Plants and Flowers. Resist the urge to clear things out. Pollinator gardens can get messy, and that's more than okay, says Tess Curacina, Director of Living Collections and Horticulture at the New York Botanical Garden in New York City. In fact, it's ideal. Pollinators need the nectar and pollen from flowers, but they also need a place to hunker down for the winter, she says. In late fall, leave beds alone. Don't even trim stems to create a winter habitat. Just add rosemary. Kathy Gents, author of the book Ground Cover Revolution, recommends growing creeping rosemary, which can have a long blooming season and be put to good use in your kitchen. It attracts various pollinators such as hummingbirds and butterflies and is not palatable to deer and rabbits due to its fragrant oils, she says. Give trees a chance. Look beyond flowers and rosemary and consider trees. Go for an oak variety that thrives in your region. There are more than 600 species worldwide, and they can support pollinators and other wildlife. If you want to lean into native plants, natives is an umbrella term for plants that are indigenous to your area. That means they're already adapted to your climate, may require less tending, and are amenable to your pollinators. Investigate your yard. Not sure what's currently growing out there? There's an app for that, and it's free with Seek, iOS, and Android. Just take a photo of a plant, and the app will ID it for you. You may already be growing an abundance of natives that you can propagate and make the stars of your yard. Some non-natives are fine to keep. Contact your local cooperative extension service. Search those three words in your town to learn about invasive species to weed out. Meet the locals. To discover more options for your area, ask the pros at your local nursery. And arm yourself with extra knowledge by pulling up the Native Plant Finder from the National Wildlife Federation, nwf.org/Native Plant Finder. Input your zip code to see flowers, grasses, trees, and shrubs that are local to you. Search and rescue. Some local native plant societies, find them on the American Horticultural Society website at ahsgardening.org. Sponsor plant rescues, where people are invited to dig up desirable plants from land slated for development and take them home. Just BYOs, bring your own shovel. If you want to use less water, spare yourself the irritation of irrigation. Plan for a lawn and garden that thrive with little supplemental water, great for the environment and your utility bill. Adjust your mower. The super popular No-Mow May was created with pollinators in mind. The idea is to let your lawn grow wild all month, allowing flowers to bloom in the grass. When you do decide to mow, cut it short to save water. Adjust the blade height to somewhere between 2.5 and 4 inches. This gives water easier access to the grass's root system for a more drought-tolerant lawn. Sow something new and different. Forget about the iconic green lawn. A lot of ground cover options can thrive under drier conditions. Select a species that will go dormant, then recover when the rain returns, says Craig McManus, who hosts the Garden Question podcast. Bermuda and buffalo grasses can do well in places like Arizona because they tolerate drier climates. Lessen the lawn. Grass lawns are time-consuming water hogs. They can require about an inch of H2O a week. Turn some of your grassy plot into one of the gardens mentioned in this story. Any lawn space you can convert into garden space is going to be much better in terms of your water use and your resources in general, Karatsina says. And yay, less mowing on your chore list. If you want to grow your own veggies, homegrown produce just tastes better than the grocery store stuff. Try these tips to turn any plot into an ultra-local farm. Test your soil. Veggies are picky about their nutrients, so get a soil test kit from your local cooperative extension service to ensure your dirt has enough potassium, nitrogen, and phosphorus. A kit can cost as little as $10, and the results will tell you which nutrients are in your soil and what you need to add in terms of fertilizer. If you're an urban dweller, your test might alert you to the presence of heavy metals or other contaminants, Kurasina says. In this case, you would want to grow in raised beds or containers so you can bring in fresh soil. Start with seedlings. What's easier than growing a plant from seed? Buying one that's already got some leaf to it. Tomatoes take time to get going, so the shortcut may be what you need to succeed. Other nightshades like bell peppers or eggplants grow well from seedlings too. Find them at your local garden center. Root vegetables, however, like carrots, radishes, parsnips, and beets, tend to do best when started from seed, as they don't like their roots disturbed. Find time. Most of the veggies you know and love need at least 6 hours of sunlight. If you have limited space and limited sun, or just want to start with an easy win to get your confidence up, herbs are a good bet, Tammany says. They can be grown in beds or containers, and they're great companion plants because most of them are respectful of one another's space. Thyme, oregano, and rosemary are all perennials, so they should come back for at least a few seasons. That concludes Gardening Goals. Sustainable Solutions. It's not easy being green, but we can help. If real-life barriers are holding you back from living your eco-friendliest life, read on, by Hannah Baker. Problem. You go through paper towels like it's your job. Solution. According to the EPA, Americans generate about 3.8 million tons of paper towel and facial tissue trash a year. Whoa. Not only can paper towels be wasteful, but they're often bleached with chemicals, says Heather White, founder of One Green Thing, a nonprofit focused on the mental health impacts of the climate crisis. Switching to cloth towels reduces landfill mass and toxic chemicals in our environment, she says. White suggests reusable towels from the Useless brand, $20 for 12, Amazon.com, or Zero Wastely, $36 for 24, Amazon.com. The trick is to make them convenient to you, she says. If your washing machine is far from the kitchen, put the dirty towels in a bowl or bin and drop them off in the laundry room each night. Keep a stack of clean ones in the ready and tuck the paper towels, which you'll want for certain jobs, in a harder to reach spot. Problem. Your reusable water bottle gets kind of gross. Solution. To prevent yuckiness, White says you've got to wash it out every other day. If it's already nasty, Danny Sayo, a sustainability expert, author, and TV personality, has a suggestion. Load it up with ice and add equal parts white vinegar and water enough so the bottle is half full, and a tiny squeeze of dish soap. Put the lid on and shake away. The vinegar acts as a disinfectant. The ice helps break up the grime, and the soap does the rest. Finish with a rinse. You can also try the cleaning tablets from Bottle Bright, $8 for 12, bottlebright.com. They dissolve in water to create a nice soaking bath for bottles and all those smaller pieces. Problem, you have a thing for dryer sheets. Solution, across the board, our experts suggest wool dryer balls, like Lamy Wool Dryer Balls, $38 for 4, nellysclean.com. They're reusable, they cut down on static, they help keep clothes from balling up, and they reduce drying time, saving energy. You can also add a dryer sachet to give your laundry a light scent. We like the Labanc Dryer Sachet, $28, linenwash.com. It comes in a few scents and can be used for at least 25 cycles. Problem, countertop composting gives you the ick. Solution, the best thing you can do is empty the bin routinely and rinse it with warm water, White says. And you can limit your composting to plant-based food scraps, avoiding meat and dairy to keep bugs at bay. Alternatively, skip the counter and stash your scraps in an airtight container in the freezer, which will prevent bad smells and mold. The scraps eventually have to go somewhere, of course. If you don't have a compost pile in your yard or access to a community program, Sayo recommends the Food Cycler, $400, Vitamax.com. A countertop appliance that turns your scraps into fertilizer in just hours. Or check out the larger option. Problem, you can't seem to quit plastic in the kitchen. Solution, let's start with trash bags. Compostable ones will only break down if you actually compost them. If your trash is headed to a landfill, Sayo has a surprising suggestion. Use durable bags that won't rip or be torn open by animals. At the very least, this keeps litter from being scattered on the streets. Next up, plastic wrap and zip-top storage bags. Mary Mead, editor and digital content manager at the nonprofit Green America, jokes that she could marry her bees wrap, $25 for 5, beeswrap.com. Organic cotton sheets coated with beeswax, plant oil, and tree resin. I use them for wrapping produce and covering plates and bowls. the compostable parchment baking paper from If You Care, $8ifyoucare.com, is another great alternative to plastic wrap, and instead of plastic baggies, our experts recommend reusable food-grade silicone bags, like the ones made by Stasher, from $8, stasherbag.com. Problem: you aren't convinced cleaning concentrates work. Solution: just because you're adding water doesn't make concentrates less powerful. Most cleaning products are nearly all water anyway, Sales says. Because of this, non-concentrates are much heavier to transport, which can waste energy. With concentrates, you refill a bottle you already have, cutting down on plastic too. Tip: use filtered water or boil tap water and let it cool. Sayo says the minerals in unfiltered water can get stinky if the solution sits around between scrubbing sessions. When choosing new concentrates, do a little research, White says. Check the Environmental Working Group's Guide to Healthy Cleaning to make sure the products are sustainable and non-toxic. She likes Sal's Suds Biodegradable Cleaner, $10 for 16 ounces, drbronner.com. That's drbronner.com. And Multi-Purpose Cleaner Concentrate, $8 for 2 ounces, grove.co. Both of which are gentle and incredibly effective. Problem: you feel compelled to wash your laundry in hot water. Solution: hot water should only be used to disinfect things like bedding and towels when people are sick, Sayo says. Aside from hogging more energy, he explains, hot water can fade colors and shrink fabrics. Instead, he suggests choosing cold water as your default, noting that most detergents are designed to work best in cold water. If you've got stinky items like workout clothes, he says to soak them in a cup of white vinegar to neutralize odor-causing bacteria before you wash them. Easy peasy, right? That concludes the article, It's Not Easy Being Green. If you missed any part of this program or are interested in another program, check out our on-demand menu on sunsounds.org. We are at the conclusion of this week's Earth and Home program. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Thank you for tuning in this week. Join me next time for another new and informative program. Have a great week and stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.